God didn't spare the angels. I got to hurry. And verse 5 of 2 Peter 3 says that he spared not the old world, but he saved Noah, the eighth person of Noah, and eight people. Noah, eight people, a total of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Just one quick thing about that in Genesis chapter 7, page 6 in your pew Bible, he says this, so that we can understand the judgment of God, that he's going to use the same old judgment for those who are up to the same old tricks. In Genesis 7, one verse, verse 23. And actually, the verse 7 is an interesting verse. It talks about the completion of God's plan and how God brought it all to be. And he sealed up that ark. And verse number 23 says, "And every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, and the creeping things and the fowl of the heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark." Amen. Back to 2 Peter one more time. 2 Peter 2, verse 6. So now the Bible's given us the angels as an example, giving us Noah, that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, the Bible says about Noah. And Noah was faithful to build the ark. Noah was faithful to load the ark as God ordained. And then Noah was faithful to go into the ark. God sealed the door. And only those who were in the ark with Noah, they survived. And then God offers to us the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. He says he turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. And he condemned them with an overthrow. That's what God did. He made them an example to you and I. You know what the example is? If your eye offends you, pluck it out. That's the example. That's what was going on there. There were people there that couldn't stop looking at what they were looking. They couldn't touch. They started touching everything. Men, women. They did everything they could. And they found themselves condemned in ashes. God says that was for our example. He says in verse 7, "And he delivered just Lot." And that doesn't mean only Lot, but it's talking about Lot's heart. That he delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. And why can I say the Bible calls him just? Because of what the Bible says next. "For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing, he vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." We see God's grace. Right in the middle of all of that, where he turned that whole place into ashes, God knew the heart of man, of Lot. And God says, "You know what? That guy Lot, he's a believer. He really is a believer. But he's also a man. And he sinned." And he says, first he looked. If you know the story of Lot, you know that when he and Abraham had an opportunity, Abraham said, "You know what, our people aren't getting along so well. You know, you got so much stuff and I got so much stuff. And it's starting to be a little problem." And Abraham said to him, "You choose where you want to be and we'll go somewhere else. We'll find us a new place." And the Bible says that Lot, when he chose, he turned the face of his tent so he could look right at Sodom and Gomorrah. You know what that meant? Every time he opened his door, he saw him down there doing whatever it is people do. And I can just imagine Lot, that, you know, that tent was kind of portable. That one day he woke up and he said, "Sure, it's a long way over there. Can't barely see. Let's pull that tent up and move it a little bit closer." You know, and then he could see, and before you know it, he said, "Can't see very well still. Why don't we put that tent up and we move a little closer?" And you know what the Bible says? You keep reading your Bible. It says, "And Lot found himself sitting at the gate." He was sitting at the gate with these people. He used to be way over there. Now he's right here at the gate. Pluck it out. I'm telling you. That's what happened to him. But God knew his heart. God knew that he had been drawn away. God called him a just man. He had just let his priorities get mixed up. He fell for the old tricks. forgot about the judgment. He fell for the tricks. But the Bible says that he delivered him. He says he saw it, he heard it, and it changed him. It vexed his soul. It made him into a man that he probably didn't even like himself. It messed with his testimony. And if you read through the story of Lot, when God gave Lot an opportunity to save his family, save all those that his girls were married to, the Bible says he had no testimony. They didn't believe him. They didn't believe him. He lost his family, even his wife. She looked back for some more. He lost her. He says that's exactly what happens. And God held Lot accountable for his part. He did. The Bible says he vexed his own soul. He did that to himself. He did that for himself. But the Lord knew his heart. And this shows the grace of God, because the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. Amen. That's what he did for him. You understand the word of God now? That's what Peter wrote. Peter said, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. Amen. And God showed us. And that's what he did for Lot. That's what he did for Lot. He delivered him out of temptation. And he knows how to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. I want to show you one last thing, and then we'll be done here. Go to Jeremiah chapter number 17. Jeremiah chapter 17, that's on page 569. Jeremiah 17. Does the Lord know how? Yes, he does. He knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. He knows how to take care of those who are his own. Jeremiah 17, page 569. We're going to read several verses here. And I don't think it's going to do it any justice, but I want to start at verse number 9 and make our way backwards. Because I want to show you that God says there will be judgment, but God also says he knows the heart and he knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations if we will surrender ourselves to him. Jeremiah 17, let's start reading at verse number 9. Here's what the Bible says about us. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Then he says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so that he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. So God says here, you remember where we started? We started about those who are up to old tricks. Amen. That they will use words of deceit and they will make merchandise of you and they will begin to be traitors of souls. And here Jeremiah says the heart is wicked. Only God knows the heart. And only God can try the heart. Only God will be able to hold every man accountable to what he or she does. And then God cites for us a great example. He says, just like a partridge, a bird that sits on eggs and does not hatch them. He says, so is he that gets rich. And he didn't do it right, he said. He says all of that's going to leave him in the midst of his days. And in the end, he's going to be looked upon like a fool. Amen. He says like nothing. But now go back to verse number 5. Because I want to show you that God knows how. God knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. God knows how to reserve the unjust. God knows how to take care of his own. Jeremiah 17 verse 5 says, thus saith the Lord. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabit it. Now, I want to tell you, when I think about false teachers, when I think about those who are up to their old tricks, you know what they're like? They're like that tree that's in the desert. That's what that heath is, like a tree that's all dried up in the desert. He says, it's gone so far. That tree has gone so far. He said that when water comes, it doesn't do it any good. It's like it rejects it. He said that's how dry it is. It rejects the water. He says it can't even see when good comes. And it finds itself of no good. He said that's what it's all like. Trusting in man and not trusting in God. He said it's like a curse. It's like a curse. But then there's grace. Then there's grace. And he says in verse number 7, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Amen. And whose hope the Lord is. He said that's where he wants us to be. He wants us to let the Lord be our hope. For he says, for he shall be like a tree that's planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river. And I love the contrast here. He says, when you're rooted and grounded in the Word of God, when you are able to see the tricks that the world might try to throw at you, when you are so fixed on God, he says, you're going to be rooted in the Word of God. You're going to be just digging deep so you can get that good stuff from the Lord. You know, like they said, the good water is down deep, okay? You know, he said, you want to get down to where the good stuff is. He says, and we're going to be so rooted. He says, we're not even going to see when the heat comes. Because the heat doesn't bother the roots because the roots are in the water. Amen. Ha! I like that. The roots are down in the water getting the nourishment. He says, we won't even see when the heat comes. Amen. But our leaf shall be green. Mm-hmm. Everywhere else it might be dark.
Amen.
Everywhere else it might be all dried up. Might be dealing with the weather and dealing with all that the world throws. He said, but those who are grounded in the Word of God, those who are trusting God, he says, they're going to be green. And he says, and they shall not be careful in a year of drought. They're not going to worry about it. Because even when things look bleak, God is still God. He says, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. That's who God is. That's where we got to be, guys. We got to be rooted and grounded. We got to be looking for the good water way down deep,
amen.
Way down deep, way down deep, so that we can recognize the tricks and we can run away from it.
Amen.
We can run away from it. There shall be false teachers seeking to take advantage of unsuspecting believers.
Amen.
We need to be so ready for them, so full of wisdom, so full of the wisdom of God. That we don't feed them, but we starve them out. We starve them out.
Amen.
They trust in man. They trust in themselves. We trust in God.
Amen.
We trust in God. In Christ alone, I place my trust.
Amen.
And find my glory in the power of the cross.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, I'm so glad that I know who Jesus is. It's because, Lord, of your great provision, your word. You inspired it to be written so many years ago. For our example, for our learning. So that we might be able to see the tricks. That we might be able to know the judgment. But most importantly, Lord, so that we might be able to know you and your heart's desire for us. Lord, I pray that each one of us might examine our own hearts today. That each one of us, Lord, might ask the question, Lord, how can I apply these words to my heart, to my life? How can I be more like you? How can I be a shining example for others to follow?
Yes.
There will be false teachers, but the faithful, Lord, will still stand. I pray you'd help us to be faithful in all things. In Jesus Christ, in his name, in his glory, Father, we pray. Amen.
Amen.